Hey, Mike, how are you?
I am fantastic as always, Josh. How are you this morning?
You know, I'm doing better. I'm doing better. I can actually feel most of my thumb now.
Really?
Yeah, 'cause it was basically half of my hand was numb, and I'm feeling better. It's good. I can move it. See that? I can wiggle it. It's good.
I can. Now, I don't think the listeners can see it because this is an audio only
Oh,
podcast,
that's
but
true. That's true.
I am interested to hear what could possibly have caused your hand to be half numb at the very least.
Yeah, well, so I mean, it starts almost 6 years ago.
It's been numb for 6 years.
No. The story starts about 6 years ago.
Oh, well, you better, so the listeners better buckle up.
Yeah, you got a minute? You ready for
Yeah,
this?
I think we are.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. And in case you thought the title was confusing, I'm Josh.
And I'm Mike Bosch, and this is
Total
Total
Nonsense
Nonsense with
with Josh
Josh
and
and
Bosch.
Bosch. We're two guys that work together,
Share some common interests,
don't always agree on every topic.
but we love to talk about nonsense.
The goal of the show is to give you a 30-minute break from really whatever you're dealing with.
So sit back, listen, and enjoy. All right, so the story starts about 6 years ago, a little under. So my wife and I bought the house we live in about 6 years ago. And at the time, we were blending our families. So I have three older kids, she has two younger kids. We were moving from two separate houses into one house. And through that process, right, you have two homes full of furniture, full of stuff, full of kids, and you start going through the process of okay, we're going to take this, we're going to use this couch, right? We only need half of the lamps that we have in the house, right? So you start going through that process. And then she has a minivan, and so we would regularly just load the minivan up with as much as it possibly could hold and just make 12 trips, right, back and forth, boxes and stuff. The heavy furniture, I have a friend who he's that friend that when you have something really heavy to move or something that's like a complete pain in the butt, he's the one you call, right? And it goes both ways, right? He for sure will call me on the hottest day of the year and say, "Hey, I need help with the fence." So it goes both ways, but he's that guy. And so I called him up and I said, "Hey, we're moving. Now's the time to move all the heavy stuff." Rented a truck, the king size bed, the dresser, all of the big stuff. He and I were doing that. And one of the pieces of furniture that we had to move was this armoire. And for those listeners who might not be familiar with the fancy term of armoire, it's basically a freestanding closet, right? It's a big, and this armoire, solid wood. Really, really, really nice. And actually, it was built for to hold a TV, like the TVs that we had when we were growing up, the ones that are about the size of a dishwasher.
I remember that. In fact, we had an armoire with a TV in it, my wife and I, when we first got married.
All
So
right.
I'm very familiar.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Totally
Now,
tracking.
this armoire had not been used with a TV in quite some time. It actually, our son, complete genius, turned it into a fort. So in the bottom were some drawers where he kept toys and things, and then in the upper part he had, a little light that he had somehow attached to the top, and he had pillows and stuffed animals, and he could shut the doors so that he was locked in his own little fort, and it was complete genius.
Now, is this the same son that recently moved from one bedroom to another?
Yeah, same one.
Okay,
Same one.
making sure.
So sometimes genius, sometimes
It's a fine line.
it is. And for all I know, the moving of the rooms and the air conditioner might have been a stroke of genius just gone awry, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's half a step difference.
For sure.
So, yeah. So he had turned this into a fort, so we had to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the furniture that we wanted in the living room. So it's furniture that we wanted in the family room.
Mm-hmm.
And the family room's in the basement.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have ground level access to your basement, or do you only have stairs? You know, I've seen some basements where you can actually enter at the same level, like a door, or do you only have stairs down to the basement? It's like a true basement.
Well, yeah. So our house was built somewhere around 1920. And
oh, that's cool.
The basement originally was probably more like a cellar.
Okay.
And so when they, with an outdoor entrance, it wouldn't have been accessible from inside the house because it was just a one room.
Gotcha.
When the house was built. So what they did was in the kitchen, there was a closet or a pantry, and they cut the floor out of that and put new stairs in down to the basement.
Oh, wow.
So if you think about it, they've taken something that wasn't supposed to be something and added something and changed something and built something else, right? So this house has been remodeled, I don't know, 6 different times.
Yeah.
Had tons of stuff done to it. And these stairs, as you go down, had sheetrock walls on either side. And what they did when they cut it out, they just cut it from floor joist to floor joist and removed the center floor joist, right? So there's 16 inches on center.
Yep.
And then, so now you've got about a 32-inch opening, but then they sheetrocked one end, so it's a little bit more narrow.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing is 28 inches wide. And from
I'm guessing you're going to tell us how wide the armoire is here in a second.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting there. It's 28 inches wide. And from the peak of one stair to the lowest point of the ceiling is 48 inches.
That's tight.
The armoire is 27 inches deep.
Oof.
It's about 5 feet tall, so we can't stand it up. And if it's on its side, it is 47 inches wide.
Oh, my goodness. So it will literally only fit in there one way.
At best.
Yeah.
So what ends up happening is... me and my Palooka buddy are getting this armoire into the kitchen to the stairs. We tip it, angle it down.
Yep.
Right? I take the top. He takes the bottom. I'm not sure if either one of them is easy because the bottom, you've got all the weight. The top, you're trying to finagle.
Yeah, it's very awkward.
And we get it about halfway down. And it stops moving.
Now it's just wedged?
It's wedged. Oof. And he's on the bottom.
So now he's trapped.
Yeah. And he wasn't completely panicked. Mm-hmm. But you could hear the tone change because I wasn't even sure that we'd be able to fit a sandwich around this thing. Like,
wow.
And it's not moving. Not up, not down.
Now, are there currently, at this point of the story, Josh, are there any tools in the basement / cellar that your Palooka buddy, as you referred to him, could dismantle any part of this armoire fort to where he could dig his way out of this mess that you've gotten him into?
There was nothing in the basement. Ugh. Nothing. And so I could see him, you know, he's scanning around looking to see if there's a window or which
or a sledgehammer
floor would be the easiest to cut a hole in. Yeah, he's not panicked, but slightly concerned. So this thing's wedged in there and we believe that we can get it through, but it's going to take sheer muscle, and probably the armoire is not going to come out fully intact.
Yeah, that's what we call careful negotiation, Josh. Well, in the moving game, we call it careful negotiation.
So I called my wife while my buddy's trapped in our basement.
Yeah.
And I said, one, how important is this that it goes in the basement? And two, how important is it that it comes out unscathed?
Now, that's an interesting group of options that you presented her with. Was there any thought that you could actually reverse the process and get the armoire back up into the kitchen?
I don't think that we...
What would you have said if she's like, nah, just put it in the other room?
To be honest, at that moment, I don't know that we knew that it was going to go up or down.
Okay.
So really, the big question was, how important is it that this comes out unscathed? Because
right.
That's probably not going to happen. I'm just, you know, so
right.
It's one of those where you ask the question like, so if the armoire got scratched, would you be upset? When the reality is the armoire is going to get scratched. I'm just trying to gauge her response at this point.
Sure. Scratched is probably the minimal amount of damage that this armoire is coming out of this process with.
Yeah, and I honestly can't speak to the health of the house after this either. So she said, you know, it's fine. I prefer it in the basement. It is what it is.
Okay.
So we increase the amount of force that we're using.
so you went through the physics of it, and you decided that you needed more force because its force has to overcome drag, right?
Yeah, we needed more physics is what we needed. Yeah, you're exactly right. And we were able to negotiate this armoire into the basement.
Wow.
And so we got it there. This last weekend, my wife, together, she was the one who initiated it for this weekend, but we had both agreed that it was time to move it out, and this weekend was the time.
Well, I was just about to ask if this was one of those decisions that was going to stay with the house. If you ever decided to move, it'd be just, oh, yeah, we'll throw in that armoire, you know, as an extra bonus type thing. Because you knew you're not getting it out.
And I feel like we've had that conversation before. So we have started to remodel the basement. So we took out one of the sheetrock walls along the stairs. So it's open-ended on one side, which gains us just a little bit of space.
About 5/8 of an inch based on what I know sheetrock width is.
Yeah, you know, plus or minus, plus or minus. So at the moment, it really didn't cross our minds that, I mean, because it's still in good shape. It's all solid wood. This is a nice armoire that doesn't make sense to just, I don't know. Well, we're for sure not leaving it down there. She had moved on. This was done.
Okay.
And so we started with me at the top because, again, super awkward.
Did you call your Palooka buddy again?
I did not.
Oh, because he didn't answer them. He probably wouldn't have answered the phone anyway.
No, he pretended like he was asleep. He had nothing to do with this. He was out. So I started at the top. She was on the bottom of the armoire, and we realized in about 8 seconds that wasn't going to work because this thing must weigh 250 pounds. It's
well, yeah. I was just about to say, and you know, and we've covered the fact that I have not met your wife, and I'm still not 100% sure that she does in fact exist, but I do believe that I've seen what could be a photoshopped image of her, and what I do know about science and physics and all that stuff, I'm imagining the armoire outweighs her considerably. So her being below the center of gravity of the armoire was probably not the smartest decision.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It outweighs her significantly. And so that was not going to work. So what we did was we've got some of those moving straps.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen them where they slide under furniture and then you put your hand. Yeah.
It's so all about leverage.
Yeah, exactly. But these moving straps aren't big enough to go from end to end on this monster.
Yep, I'm tracking.
However, we were able to loop them side to side.
Okay.
And she was able to use one more like a sling. So as she's on the top, she's able to grab this and sort of pull up on this sling-like strap to move it from stair to stair to stair.
And you're just pushing it from underneath?
Yep. Yeah, I'm just pushing it. Just pushing it.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's exactly
lift and
push. That's exactly it, right?
Yeah.
So she's up top, and you know, she 1, 2, 3, she'd, you know, and I'd pick it up and I'd start to push, and then we got up to the top where we have a hardwood floor and we didn't want to scratch the floor. So she's like, "Oh, what are we going to do?" I was like, "Go grab the rug in front of the sink." And I'm sure that it took no more than 6 seconds for her to grab the rug and tuck it underneath. But as I'm holding this 200-pound thing over my, you know, because the leverage, the best way to hold it is partially over your head. Uh-huh. I can't feel my arms anymore. And it feels like she's making the rug. It feels like she's actually weaving
she's
the rug.
She's got a loom.
Yeah. Like, and I'm wondering what's going on. She gets it. We push it. We carry this out to the garage. And I could no longer feel my left thumb.
Wow.
So I'm feeling good now. I can feel it.
And how long ago was this that this all this took place? All this hijinks?
It would have been about 7 days ago. No.
So for 7 days you've had no sensation in your left thumb.
It's gradually gotten better, but yeah, for a couple of days. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Were you concerned that you had like a strain or a pinched nerve, or at any point, Josh, did you consider seeking medical attention?
Oh no, gosh, no.
Or were you going to wait for it to change colors before you were very concerned?
Yeah, for sure. And it would actually have to probably change about 3 colors. I rubbed some dirt on it, and then I rubbed it down with some butter and a few other. You know, to see if any of that
home
would
remedies.
Help.
Yeah, you Googled a few remedies.
Tried a few different things. But that's it fun. Didn't change color, because you're right. It would have to change color probably at least 2 or 3 times before I'd get concerned. But yeah, wow. No, I didn't think about any of that.
Well, I'm glad that you have feeling in your thumb, and that you have full range of motion now, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So if you could hitchhike if you needed to.
I could.
Like
you could
pick up a ride.
Got it.
What ultimately is going to happen to this armoire?
Do we have a
long-term plan?
She has posted it on free Facebook or something like that. She's had
So she's ready to just get rid of it.
Yeah, just get it gone. And she's had about 32 people say that they're going to come pick it up. A few of them have been, hey, do you think it'll fit my Subaru Forester? And we're like, there's no way you're going to need a pickup truck. Oh, it's just going to be me and my 6-year-old son stopping by. And we're like, no.
Yeah.
So it's actually still waiting to be picked up, even though we've had lots of people interested.
Wow. Yeah. That's, posting things for free is my go-to, when I'm ready to get rid of some stuff. It seems like when you can put something up for $10, nobody wants it. You put up there for free. Woo, buddy, man, there they come out of the woodwork to get whatever that is, right? You probably could have gave that air conditioner thing away for free. Somebody would have taken that thing.
Well, actually, we just put it out in the alley behind the garage, and somebody picked it up.
Well, we actually, so I think it was last weekend, it was bulk pickup day in our neighborhood, and so my wife got on the list, and so she's like, hey, let's go through the storage shit out back and let's get rid of some stuff. And so we did, we put some stuff out at the curb the night before, and the trash guy came by at 7:30. But anyway, she looked out there like 6:45 or 7, and half the stuff that we put out there was already gone. Because, you know, it was reasonable stuff. It was just stuff that we hadn't used in a, like this armoire, right? It was past the time where you used it, and it was time to move on to somebody else. And I never would have thought that somebody would have used the stuff that we, but it was okay. And so yeah, they come took it, and I hope they're enjoying it.
Was any of it heavy?
No. It was just taking up space. It was like an old Coca-Cola ice chest cooler thing. It was pretty cool. But we had like 15 ice chests for some reason, and so we just didn't use this one anymore. And we had it on the patio by the pool when the kids were little, but then we bought an antique Coke machine that we now have on the patio, and so we just didn't use it anymore. And so we put it in the old storage shed and forgot about it.
Antique Coke machine?
Well, so let's break that down for a second. How old does something have to be for it to be antique?
Well, that's a relative term. I pass restaurants that are world famous. I'm pretty sure they're not world famous. They're just.
But I think there is an. I think there is a age. So this Coke machine was made in the early 70s.
Okay.
So it's almost 50 years old.
Somewhere potentially between vintage and antique.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Vintage is probably a more accurate resin. It's one of those ones that takes glass bottles. It has the door that you open and you pull the bottles out the front. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I literally bought this Coke machine. I actually bought two of them from a guy on the side of the road for $300. I bought two of them for $300. I bought one of them for $100 and the other one for $200. And I sold the other one to my neighbor for the $200. And I kept the one that I wanted. And it works. I freaking plugged it in and it gets ice cold. Now, I did end up having to replace the fan. The fan went out. But what's super cool about it is it's got something on there that I've never seen. And I remember these Coke machines when I was a kid, right? Because obviously they were made about the same time I was born. It has a copper line that goes in the bottom of it that kind of coils up inside the machine and then comes out, and there's a water fountain on the outside of the Coke machine to where the copper line would go inside the machine and the water would get cold. The machine would actually cool the water down, and you can drink water from the side of this Coke machine.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. I've never hooked that part up, obviously, because I don't have a water source. But the lights work. I disabled the coin mechanism, so you don't have to put money in it. You can just pull the bottles out the front. But it holds like 144 bottles.
Wow.
So you can buy IBC root beer or crushed soda, you know, anything you want to keep cold. Just whatever. And, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's on our back porch, by the swimming pool. It's great summertime, activities.
Very cool. When I moved into my old house, the one that I moved from into this house, when I moved in, the refrigerator in the kitchen was, it looked like they had gotten it secondhand and they were just trying to fill the hole.
Yeah.
Right. Not great. But out in the garage, one of those items that just gets left when you move was a refrigerator that was, I don't know, from the 50s.
Oh, wow.
One of those ones that has the rounded top and has the handle that latches.
Yeah. Like you pull it and the door opens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Super cool. Doesn't have a separate freezer. Just has the little shelf.
Yep.
And it's about a 3/4 size. I plugged it in. And it worked. Ice cold. Nice.
Did you keep it? You still have it?
I took the refrigerator out of the kitchen, and I moved that one into the kitchen.
Oh,
and I
that's
used
cool.
that for, I don't know, 8 years.
Yeah.
That was the refrigerator I used until we moved out. And then I sold the refrigerator. But it was super cool. I had this antique-y refrigerator and this antique-y house, and it unbelievable that that stuff still works. This thing had to be 60, 70 years old.
Yeah, and I was just, as you say that, I'm a big fan of progress. I think we've already established that, right? I love technology.
You are cutting edge.
I am cutting edge. But I will have to say, there is some truth to the fact that they don't build things the way they used to build things.
No, they don't.
The washing machine, we just had to buy a new washing machine like 3 weeks ago because it just came in on my credit card statement. $1,000 for a new washing machine. My washing machine was not that old. It was just out of the warranty period, like 5 years. And so I was actually going to pay somebody to come. I YouTubed it. There was a similar problem. I bought the parts. It fixed it for like a week. and it stopped again. And basically what it would do is when it went into spin mode, the whole thing would shake so bad it would get out of balance, and then it would start over. And so it would fill back up with water, and then it would spin, and it would shake, and it was a disaster. You literally had to sit there and wait. You were letting it spin, and as soon as you knew it was going to go out of bounds, you'd hit pause, and you just shut it off. So it was like playing some kind of game. So anyway, so I found
as you're sitting and watching TV, and you're listening to the washing machine.
You're like,
and then it stops, and both of you jump up. You're like, shut it off.
Oh, no. I would literally stand in the laundry room waiting for it. Like, you were just watching it, right? Like, I know it's getting ready, like your finger on the button. But
manual clothes washing.
Yeah. And so I call a repairman. Guy comes out, charges me $100, tells me that he can fix it, but the parts are going to be like $700. Probably just better to get a new washing machine. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. So anyway, so we ended up with a new washing machine. But yeah,
I did the same thing with a dishwasher. Broke down, did the YouTube research. I was pretty sure I knew what it was. Hesitant. We called out a repair guy. He's like, nope, get a new one. Because it could be that. It could be 18 other things. Get a new one. You'll just chase it.
And I remember when we bought the washer and the dryer as a set, it had like the digital digital screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I even bought the extended warranty because the worst part about it is it has a sticker on the outside of the machine that says warranted for 10 years. But I don't know what they cover because when I called them, they're like, oh, no, you need to... We don't cover that. I'm like, you don't even know what's wrong with it. Right?
Yeah, but we're pretty sure it's not covered.
Yeah, it's like whatever your symptom is, we don't cover that one.
Meanwhile,
we cover everything else.
Meanwhile, we have a chest freezer in our basement right now today that I got from my parents who got from my grandparents... And my grandparents did this. They went through portions of the Depression and World War II, and they were super frugal. So one of the things they did is when they bought a large purchase like this, they used one of those label makers, the old ones with the plastic ribbon.
But like the letters are embossed in it.
Yeah. And they would put the date on the product when they bought it. So knew when they bought it.
Yeah, I mean, that's and so smart.
I don't remember what it is, but it's like 1967 is on this label that they made on a label maker stuck to the back of this chest that is currently keeping our frozen goods frozen in our house right now. Wow. So yes, I don't know that you could get that out of a freezer chest today.
That's actually genius because I don't know if I told you, Josh, but my electric lawnmower quit working. You know, I was really I've bragged on my electric lawnmower before. I was really proud of it. I think the statement that I would say is every time I push the button it would start. Well, one day, I don't know, about a month ago, I pushed the button and it smoked instead of starting. Right, it was definitely shorted out somehow. And
it's not supposed to do that.
No, I don't think so. And so I took it apart, and I actually couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. It seemed pretty simple. Now I bought it at Lowe's, and I went back to Lowe's and I was 99% certain that I bought the extended warranty. So I went to Lowe's. And I got up, I waited in line, and I was greeted by a lady who should not be working in customer service. That is not her area of natural expertise. In fact, I don't think she should even be working with the public at all. But anyway, not representing what Lowe's well at this point. And so I'm like, hey, how are you doing today? And she's like, what can I help you with? And I was like, ooh, this is going well right off the jump, right? And I'm like, I need some help. I bought a lawnmower last year, and I need to see if it's still under warranty. And she's like, do you have your receipt? And I was like, no, they told me that they, I don't need a receipt. They asked me for my phone number, whatever. She's like, when did you buy it? And I was like, well, I think it was about a year ago. And she's like, well, our records only go back 6 months. And I was like, well, they certainly didn't tell me that when I bought the lawnmower. And so she then points to this really big sign on the wall and says, well, I guess you can just call that number and see if somebody up there can look at it for you. So I was like, okay. So I called the number.
While you were still at Lowe's?
I was still at Lowe's. Okay. We had other errands to run. And this is, I exaggerate a lot of stories. I embellish stories. I've admitted that before, but this is actually true. I waited on hold so long, my phone battery died. Literally, my phone battery died while I was on hold with Lowe's. So we went from Lowe's to Hobby Lobby to, I think we even went and had lunch, and I was still on hold the entire time until my phone just died.
Just let it go. Let it go.
So anyway, so I call the number a couple days later. They're absolutely no help to me whatsoever. And so I'm really trying to figure out what I'm going to do because I like my electric lawnmower. But anyway, so our boss, Heidi, asked me, why don't you just buy a gas mower? Ooh. And I said, well, yeah, but this thing starts, and every time she's like, well, how long did the electric lawnmower last? I was like, a year. And she's like, how long does the gas mower last? And I was like, I don't know, like 2 years. And then she just looked at me like, you'll figure it out. Like, you know, like she just gave me that moment.
Do I have to draw you a picture?
Exactly. So I have a gas lawnmower. And so we put the electric, I actually held on to the electric lawnmower for like two more weeks thinking I would fix it.
So hopeful.
Because I thought if I could just get this part, there was like this little switch inside there. If I could just get that, then I would be good again. And my wife was like, hey, let's put some stuff out at the curb. I got on the bulk, and she's like, we got some stuff in the shed. And she goes, and that electric lawnmower. She never liked the electric lawnmower, to be honest. And so my electric lawnmower is no more. Somebody else is possibly enjoing it. I don't know.
So you didn't try and just splice an extension cord right into the motor and just plug it in and let it run?
So no, the thought crossed my mind.
Because that's what I would do. In fact, my dad is notorious for finding appliances that don't work and cutting the cord off just so that he's got the cord for a situation just like that.
Yeah. I got to be honest. I did consider it, but man, I don't know. I guess maybe as I'm getting older, I'm less reckless and more cautious. Reckless? I've tipped the scale from, you know, because there's that meter of reckless and cautious. And when you're young, your dial leans more towards reckless. And then there's that center line where you're 50-50. You're kind of reckless. You're kind of cautious. I think I'm now more cautious than I am reckless. I don't know. Because I did consider it for a moment. But then I thought, and I think part of the decision making was when I plugged it in and I hit start, or I pulled that handle and I hit start and it smoked, I think there was a bit of a crackly, sparkly sound. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I was like, ooh, that doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot of electricity.
A little bit of pause.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, maybe this isn't a good idea. And so if I could have got the part, that would have been one thing. But no, I played it cautious and I bought a gas-powered lawnmower, which I hate. But it does mow pretty well. And it has started every time I pull the cord. The guy at the hardware store told me something that I didn't know. He said, don't use the cheap gas in the lawnmower. And I was always led to believe that the you know, there's regular gas, there's premium gas, and there's like the super gas, super unleaded or whatever. Yeah. I was always led to believe that the regular gas was closer to the leaded gas, which is what things used to run on years ago, before the government got in the middle of stuff. So I always put
here we go.
the lower grade gas in there, but he was like
still stuck in his craw, the leaded gas versus unleaded.
Yeah. And so he's like, no, don't buy the better gas. It'll last longer. So my car gets the cheap gas, but now my lawnmower gets the expensive gas. I've even considered putting premium race fuel gas in it. We can talk to Brandon and see if I can get some of that race fuel gas. Maybe I can mow my lawn faster as an added benefit.
Get this thing wound up really good.
As an added benefit.
You wouldn't need that chainsaw anymore. You'd be able to take bushes down and everything with this lawn. Just mash through it.
Well, it'd be like that. I think it's like the DR field trimmer we used to see commercials of, right? In the middle of the day. It's like this, weed eater on... Yeah, it's like a weed eater on wheels.
So does that play into your cautious stance these days, is throwing race fuel in your lawnmower?
Well, I haven't done it yet, so we'll see. Well, things are liable to blow up.
I'm glad to hear that you're being more cautious. Clearly, you have tipped that scale. Based on the fact that I wrestled an armoire out of my basement, I don't think I've crossed that same threshold yet. I still don't think I can discern the difference between cautious and reckless yet. I misjudge it all the time.
Well, I think I've got a few years on you still, right, Josh? I'm a few years your senior.
Yeah, a few might be stretching it, but yeah. Yeah. Oh. Clearly older and wiser.
Okay, so well, you'll get there. You'll get to that tipping point where you're more cautious than reckless. Hey, but that brings up a piece of housekeeping. We, on the last episode, I think we kind of ran down all the September birthdays. Did we not?
Most of them, yeah.
I forgot my dad's birthday was in September.
Oh, no.
Yep. So I got a phone call, not from my dad, but from my mom saying, hey, your dad said you forgot to mention his birthday. So now I didn't forget his birthday. I did call him or text him. I don't remember because I'm old now, but I did wish him a happy birthday on his birthday, but I forgot to mention him in the episode that we recognized September birthday. So happy birthday. To my father, who has a birthday in September.
Happy belated birthday, Dad.
Happy belated. Yeah, so for all of you out there that have October birthdays, and I don't know that I know anybody, but happy birthday to you as well if you're celebrating your birthday month.
And if you want us to call it out, shoot us an email.
Yes,
and shoot us an email. We will be happy to recognize your October birthday because apparently we've started a new thing here.
Yeah, that's a new segment. Happy birthday.
All right, Mike. Funny. Well, I think we've covered the fact that sometimes we're cautious, sometimes we're reckless, and sometimes we're still trying to figure it out.
I think so.
All right.
Well. Yeah, and I hope the listeners out there are on the borderline of cautious versus reckless. But if you're still going through those learning curves and you have some reckless stories, I hope they end well.
Yes. Yeah, your thumb comes back to life.
Exactly.